How many have been to this place, Washington Square Park in New York City? Oh, great. Great to see you. See you guys. I've already gone. A Tale of Two Planets. A Tale of Two Planets. Jane Jacobs versus Robert Moses. From National Trust for Historic Preservation, I'm reading an article. It's the early 1960s in the New York City's West Village. Years earlier, master builder Robert Moses, a formidable urban planner and the longtime New York City Parks Commissioner, had proposed a new highway that would run down Broome Street. The Lower Manhattan Expressway was to be a 10-line elevated highway that would cut through Soho and Little Italy, destroying Washington Square Park, demolishing numerous buildings, and displacing thousands of families and businesses. The plans had been delayed for several years, but were picking up steam again. In response, a coalition of council members, business owners, and local activists joined forces to fight the plan. Among the protesters was Jane Jacobs, a journalist, a mother with young children, and a resident of the West Village. She was vehemently opposed to the expressway and organized protests and rallies in her community. But for all their differences, these two urban planning heavyweights shared one key characteristic. They both wanted a better city. For Jacobs, that meant human-scale neighborhoods where community members played an active role in shaping their environment. For Moses, that meant having strong infrastructure and a plan for density. Moses realized the importance of infrastructure and of planning at a regional scale. And he was able to navigate the bureaucracies, particularly with fundraising. Jacobs was the spokesperson for the human scale neighborhood and for remembering how people actually function in urban environments. They brought different things to the table, but they had the future of the city very much at their heart. What they want is a better city. Great planners, but their heart is towards the better city. Fast forward, we can visit this beautiful place, Washington Square in New York City. Whether it is for urban planning, or preparing a meal at home, plans matter. Our plans, they do matter. Whether you are a mom, father, working, non-working, young, our plans do matter. We are in the series of honoring God. And today, our topic is honoring God with our plans. How can we honor God with our plans? So, what does come to you when we say honor? When we think about honor, what does it come to your mind? To really understand some of the things, we need to take the opposite of that. Honor, opposite of that honor is shame. So to understand honor, I want to ask, have you gone through any situations that you were ashamed or you brought to a situation where you were ashamed or shame? I will tell you a story in my own personal life. One day I went to one of my relative's house. We wanted to visit them. Me and Jerusha and kids, we went there. We went inside. We sat there for some time. And after 10 minutes, the man of the house comes and says, "Get out of my house." get out of my house. You know, we walked away from that house happily. We never gave any bad mouth, no comments. He said, that's fine. See, think about honor. When you think about honor, dignity of position, prestige, high value, high esteem. That's the meaning of honor. So, what is at stake with respect to honoring God with plans? What is at stake? What is at risk? In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor God as God. They did not honor God as God, the due, the respect due unto him for who he is. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts. Foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. What is at stake with honor? If you don't honor the real one, what happens? This is the end of the behavior. They became fools, foolish hearts, exchanged their glory. They did not honor God. Think about it. They did not honor God. This word honor in Greek, doxa, it's a good opinion used throughout that word in the New Testament. Hence, praise, honor, glory. Praise, honor, and glory. They did not give the glory due unto him. They did not honor him. Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Doxology. Talk about doxology. We read biology, zoology. Think about doxology. Giving praise. It's a study by itself. Here we see the word mentioned. To him be glory. The verb of honor, doxology. So, who in the Bible can address both honor and today's topic, plan? Honoring God with our plans. I was really going through, who in the Bible is the best person, to go person, to talk about these things? Who should know honor? Who should know what is about plan? Exodus chapter 33:18. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. No one in the Bible asked God to show his glory. No one has asked, I want to see your glory and see And God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face. See, the weight of God's glory. God is light. You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Look at the God's glory. What is at stake we are thinking about? The honor, the glory. You cannot see my face. You cannot live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. What an amazing hiding and seeing the God's glory. Who else asked in the Bible, I want to see your glory, God? What a courageous prayer this is. I want to see your glory. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Who is the person to whom we can go as a church and learn? I want to honor God with my plan. I want to go to a person who knows what is the meaning of honor. You see, when we meet people who are at the influential positions, like our teachers, principals, even our bosses, CEOs, even our body language changes, right? Have you observed? Our body language itself changes. See, the honor, the respect, the fear that is due to their position. Exodus 25:8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, God telling Moses, that I may dwell among them according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. I never thought the showbread will be mentioned in the worship meeting. What a long jump it is. And we see here in Exodus 25:8, God mentioning to Moses, he's showing a pattern. What is the meaning of pattern? It's a copy, it's a form or image or a plan, a blueprint. A person who knows honor, glory of God, and a person who knows the plan, the blueprint. The Ark of the Covenant, table of the showbread, golden lampstand. He says, I'm showing this. Be sure that you make everything according to this pattern. What an amazing thing. Here Moses, learning from Moses. We want to ask Moses, how can I honor God with my plan today? How can we honor God with our assembly plan? Let's go to Moses and ask him. Let's learn from him this evening how to honor God with our plans. How to honor God with our plans. So the challenge is to select the passage for the preaching. What is the passage? Honoring God with our plans. This is what we're going to learn. We honor God with our plans when they're directed by deep understanding of God's attributes. We need to know God's attributes, who God is. What is his persona? We have to understand, when they are directed by deep understanding of God's attributes and accomplished by God's given resources. So we honor God with our plans when they are directed by deep understanding of God's attributes and accomplished by God's given resources. Honoring God with our plans, understanding of God's attributes, and accomplishing our plans by God's resources. So, number one is God's attributes. Let's go to Moses and ask, what is your understanding of God? How is it that you have led lakhs of people from Egypt through that Red Sea? How were you able to plan? And we see from Psalm 90. Let's go through to the Psalm 90. Psalm 90, a beautiful psalm. Psalm of Moses. Moses, he has the macro view of who God is. Only one attribute we are going to look at. God as a creator. God as a creator. See, in our plans, we need to have this macro view of things. Only the scripture can give to us. Not only that, we'll come to the micro view, the day-to-day things also. From this Psalm 90, I'll read for you Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Look at this verse, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God of time, space, and matter. That's what Moses' view of who God is. God of time, everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting to everlasting. Space, he created the space, heavens and earth, matter, mountains and earth. Can you think of a verse for this? Is the verse Genesis 1:1 coming to your picture, to your mind? In the beginning, God created heavens and earth, a God of time, space and matter, a God who is in control. We need to have this, I want to stretch your mind. We have a God who created, who is a creator. A God who created this entire universe. I was talking about, mentioning about what is at stake. Dear brothers and sisters, we are children of Almighty God. Look at Moses' macro view, who God is. When we are really gripped with that, God is in control of in our life. God as a creator, I think our plans will really set right. We honor God with our plans when they are directed by a deep understanding of God as creator. We have to start from there. So look at this verse. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You know this verse. In the world, but not of this world. You might have heard this saying, in the world, but not of this world. I have seen this. Many cars they have, right? As a bumper sticker or many places. Not of the world. Here also, in the world, not of this world. See, when we understand God as a creator, we really get the perspective of what is the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. See, there is so much emphasis that we are not of the world. See, in our plans, we need to understand this macro view coming into our lives. We are not just not of the world, but we are in the world also. When you are in the world, how do you interact with the world? For God so loved the world. How do we interact with the world? There is so much evil is there, so much bad things are going on. How do we interact? Do we run away? In our plans, how do we bring world into our plans? What is our view of this world? Giving importance only to not of this world, but where is that? We are in the world. We are salt and earth of this world. See, when we understand God's view of the world, our plans do change. Our plans become alive. We get into the world like how Jesus came into this world, incarnated. We understand what's going on, the challenges. As parents, we understand there are challenges are there. We are scared, we are afraid of how our kids will move into this world. But as parents and as a church, we need to provide the opportunities. We need to provide education to our children to face this world. See, we see here, we are talking God as a creator, a God who created physics, who created mathematics, who created everything. And we see here, Psalmist Moses, he's the singer also, looks like. He's mentioning, Lord, you have been our dwelling place from generations to generations. And as we look at this God, a macro view, look at human condition from verses 3 to 11. From verses 3 to 11. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. We are talking God as a God of time, space and matter. And we see here, you turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight, they are like yesterday when it passes by. Or as a watch in the night, you have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass, which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. Look at the man's limitedness. When God, from everlasting to everlasting, but look at our limitations. So, when we are planning to honor God, considering our position before God, before whom we are standing. From 1,000 years, for 1,000 years in your sight, they're like yesterday. Maybe Moses was thinking about Methuselah, who lived 936 years, 900 plus years. And see, come down. Not only the time, In verse 7, for we have been consumed by your anger. The relationship with God throughout these 40 years of journey in the wilderness, we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath, we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you. Look at the nature of a human being. The iniquities before God. Our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain how many years? From 1,000 years, it came to 70 years. Or if due strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. So considering when we look at the macro view of God, what is our position before him? What is a man that thou art mindful of him? Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due to you? So Moses, he has gone through all these things. He has seen people disobeying, not giving honor that is due unto God. With all these things, with all this macro view, now let's get into this. Honoring God with our plans. What are the provisions, God's provisions? What are the God's provisions? Am I on track? So, we have seen to honor God with our plans must be directed by a deep understanding of God's attributes. We have looked at only one attribute. God as a creator. And if you want to further study, you can study several attributes of God. So that gives us a real understanding of our position before God. Who we are. What is the glory of God? What is his majesty? And with that macro view, let's see our practically, what are the tools for planning? What are the tools? All these planning tools, starting from Excel and so many tools, they're only tools for us. But the real meat is behind that. Honoring God with our plans. God's resources for planning. Psalm 90 from verse 12. With all this background, 12. So, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Number one, what is it needed in planning? A heart of wisdom. God is honored when our plans are made with heart of wisdom. Next we see, God is honored when our plans are filled with satisfaction, contentment. God is honored when our plans are guided by vision. Let's go through these verses. 12 and 13. Let's see, what is the meaning of heart of wisdom? Heart of wisdom. We honor God with our plans when they're accomplished with God's given resources. So these are heart of wisdom, satisfaction, and the vision for his work. It should come from God. These are resources from God. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you or that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Heart of wisdom. Let's see this. What is the meaning of heart of wisdom? We all think wisdom and knowledge is a function of our mind, right? Many times, the difference between knowledge and wisdom, we say knowledge is knowing what, but wisdom is how to do with what we know. But we see here, it's very interesting, heart of wisdom. It's not mind of wisdom, but the heart. So in the Bible, heart is used as a whole being. Not only as opposite to mind, but it is used as a whole, our whole core being, the heart. What happens in our heart, what happens in the deep inside of us is denoted as our heart. It's like a physical heart pumps blood, circulates the blood. Like that, the factory of our body is the core, is heart, where things happen, where really the things that no one can see happens. That's the heart. Jeremiah says, writes in chapter 17, the heart is deceitful above all things. See, in our plans, it's not the mind, it's about the heart. In our plans, it's not the intelligence or wisdom, it's the heart that brings that wisdom. See, in our plans, the heart is very important. When we come with your mind, with your logic, with your pros and cons to the table, you can argue at that level, but if your heart is not there, you will always push back. Always push back. How many times our assemblies cannot buy places, you know, cannot buy places for assemblies? Everybody has their plans based on their gift set, based on their ministries. Nothing will work. 5 years, 10 years. Our heart, the deepest heart, is our heart for the Lord's ministry. It is not for me. Look at Moses. It was mentioned, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. Moses understood, it's not my plan. God said, you are not going to enter into the promised land. He said, fine. He got it. He understood that. So the man Moses, I think we can learn from him, he's not about his agenda. He's not about his plans. He's completely filled with the glory of God, the majesty, the glory, the honor. And we see here, he's talking about the heart of wisdom. Heart. Heart is a factory where things happen. It's like a deep spring of life, as we see in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart above all else. It determines the course of our life. What an amazing, it determines what is it coming. Young people, what is it coming from your heart? Your parents may not know. In the midst of four walls, what is coming out of your heart? What's going on? What are the struggles? Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance. A small distraction can spoil the entire life. Keep with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it the issues of life comes. The source of life, the heart,
It's the factory. That's why the first honoring God with our plans, we need to have the heart of that wisdom. Heart.
Next one.
Honoring God with our plans.
14 verse. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen
evil, trouble.
So in our plans, we need to have a deep satisfaction. If you don't have satisfaction, the joy, the contentment that comes from the Lord, our plans are not successful. We always fight. We always want more and more and more. Where does that contentment comes, the joy? Where does that? I decided for 2 years I need not buy my shirts and pants. Looking at the what, how many I have. There is no limit for gadgets, for electronics. Where to draw the line? We see here, oh, satisfy us in the morning. Our satisfaction should come from the Lord. In our plans, we need to approach those plans with a deep satisfaction. God, you have given us so much. We want to invest back into your plans. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. What a resources, what a blessings God has given to us. And Moses writes in many of the Psalms and everywhere, he is my rock, he is my protector. Look at the satisfaction when we talk to God, when we spend time with God, the satisfaction, the deep sense of joy. Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. So in the plans, we have to have heart of wisdom and the satisfaction. And we see the next one and the last one. Honoring God with our plans, we need to have the vision. And we see here in this verse, let your work appear to your servants. What is appearing to your servants? Let your work be seen. We want to see. Open our eyes. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Work of our hands, not my Lenovo work, not my IBM work. Lord, I want to see your work. Your work. These are all the things, tools. We are just working in the world. Open our eyes, God. See, let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision. The vision, this word is used in a very different ways. The vision, where there is no word of God, where there is no prophecy, people perish. Prophetic vision, applying the scripture into our day-to-day lives, into the context of our church. See, for our plans, we need to have vision. I'm so glad that God has given us the 2 acres land. Let's have the vision. I want to think about my next generation. We need to think about. Because He is the God of all generations. We're enjoying. God has given us. And we see honoring God with the vision. So we need to have the vision. We need to have
heart of wisdom, satisfaction / contentment, and we need to have the vision. We need to open our eyes and see what God is doing in this world. Who else can serve the world? And we are His ambassadors in this world. Honoring God with our plans from the life of Moses. We honor God with our plans when they're directed by deep understanding of God's attributes. Whether I am in US, whether I am in India, whether I am in Germany, that's not the point at all. Whether I am with God or not. Whether God is on my side or not. God has created deep understanding of God with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He's guiding us. He's directing us. When we give our lives to Him, let's see how He turns it out. When we put our lives before Him, when we risk our lives for Him, how He will turn. We honor God with our plans when they're directed by this deep understanding of God's attributes and accomplished by God's given resources. So many resources, brothers. So much. It's unending resources we have. Right? Unending. So may God direct us, especially as we are at the end of the year. May God take this psalm, take this message and listen to it if possible. And see, 2018, how can you plan? 2018 as an assembly, how we want to see in the midst of us God working. I don't want to see Moses done all those things. I want to see in the midst. I want to see young people raising, ministries raising, growing in the Lord. We want to see His glory, right? We want to see His honor. Let's praise and thank the Lord. Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you're a God who is worthy of our honor, praises, our strength. So, Lord, we come to you as an assembly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us so far in this year with this Honoring God series. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who has taken us through wonderful messages, honoring God. Lord, help us to honor you with all our heart and mind and soul. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray.